But you're going to hear me say something along the lines of, it's our mission at the Silver Edge to help you get into the best shape of your life, no matter your age. I repeat that every show in our podcast intro. And maybe when you hear that, you're thinking, that couldn't possibly apply to you. That's hyperbole. It's just exaggerated marketing to get more people to listen to this podcast or to sell our coaching services to suckers who actually believe they can be in the best shape of their lives over 50. Or heck, maybe you just fast forward through the intro and have never heard me say that. But either way, is it true? Can we really be in the best shape of our lives in our 50s, 60s, and beyond? Stick around. We're going to definitively answer that question for you today. Hello, and welcome to the Over 50 Health and Wellness Show. I'm your host, Kevin English. I'm the founder and CEO of The Silver Edge, and our mission is to help you get into the best shape of your life, no matter your age, so you can show up in the second half of your life as the healthiest, strongest, most vital version of yourself. We have a great show for you today. Jeff Luke is here, and he's going to share with us how to get and stay in the best shape of our lives over 50. But before we get to that, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Ned. Ned makes the world's best natural remedies. They're probably best known for their line of full-spectrum CBD products, which are beyond organic. Their hemp is actually biodynamically grown just for them. Now, with the wild rise in the popularity of CBD products these days, there are tons of options in the marketplace. But if you want to be 100% sure that you're getting the finest available CBD, definitely check these guys out. Now, that being said, I am madly in love with their magnesium product. It's called Mellow. It helps me de-stress and it optimizes my sleep, and it's a part of my pre-bed routine every single night. Anyway, if you're interested in learning more, head over to silveredgepartners.com and click on the Ned icon. And because you're a listener of this show, you can save 15% off your first order when you use coupon code SILVEREDGE at checkout. That's silveredgepartners.com, and the coupon code is SILVEREDGE, all run together, no spaces. Okay, enough of that. Let's get on with today's show. My guest today is Jeff Luke. Jeff is the founder of Iron Age Athletics. Iron Age is a brand dedicated to fitness fanatics over 50. Jeff doesn't just want to help people survive, he wants to help them thrive. He's created a community that holds each other accountable, a safe place for fitness buffs to come together to inspire, motivate, and celebrate each other. Without further ado, let's meet Jeff.
I was so lucky. As a kid, I had a neighborhood full of friends. We probably had 10 or 20 kids right in our neighborhood. We were playing football, baseball, basketball, you name it, all year long. We were always outside. It was fantastic. I was really lucky.
Yeah, and I think probably our generation, that's more typical, right? Yeah. That, unfortunately, less and less today. But when we were kids, of course, there weren't the electronic distractions and whatnot to really suck us in. But it was very common for parents to shoo us out of the house and to go play and come up, be home in time for dinner, be home before dark, that sort of thing. So that's pretty common. So you had this kind of upbringing with just this kind of the neighborhood kids and playing the way kids will play. Were there any structured sports when you were, say, in middle school, high school, in those years?
Yeah, we started playing, I think, t-ball at what, maybe 7 or 8. And then we played little league baseball until 12, and then senior league baseball until 15. I played soccer. I played football. I wrestled. I ran cross country, ran track. I did everything that I could. I was more into sports than school, like probably a lot of kids at that time. And it was a great outlet for my high energy that I had at that time.
Now, did you have a favorite sport of all those you were playing?
I love football because I played defense and I played this position called the monster man guy. And it was just like a safety and you just went and attacked the ball. And it was just a lot of fun. But I ran track later in life. And I think that was my true calling. I was good at it. I was natural at it. I loved it. I loved running. So I'm really glad I found that sport probably when I was a junior in high school. pretty late to it.
Okay, so we got you through high school, obviously very athletic, very active, hyper kid, like you said. Yeah. What happens when you get into, did you go to college? What happens when you're done with high school?
Yeah, like a lot of kids went to college without a plan, just it was the thing to do. And I dabbled on the track and cross country teams. They were at a different level than I was. And we dabbled with the party scene a little bit, but so that certainly impaired my athletic abilities. But got through college and it was a great experience. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I think a lot of us can appreciate the college years. Some of us were. There's a few of us, I'm sure, that were dedicated scholars and dedicated athletes, but there were quite a few of us, I'm sure, that were more into the social scene of college. But get through college, and then what happens? How do you roll into adulthood?
Yeah, it's those years almost seem forever ago, but you find that first job and you start making money and getting settled down and just worked at a ton of different places early on. I always kind of ran here and there. I just enjoyed it. Not so much on a competitive level, but I loved running. It was enjoyable to me. So I've been running ever since high school. And that was probably the early part of my adulthood was mostly running at that time.
And now, what kind of distances are we talking? Were you just running just for the love of running? Were you running 5Ks?
I dabbled at 5Ks as they were just everywhere, and you could get a good measure of your fitness with a 5K. The distance running, the marathons, ultras, didn't really have any interest to me. That was way too intense. But the short stuff was fun.
Yeah. And like you said, that's very accessible. And for most folks, that's within striking range, right? If you're, even if you're not in great shape, you can usually work your way up to get yourself through a 5K, even if that's a kind of a run walk or more of a fun event than a competitive event. So what's your career? What were you doing during this time?
I settled into a career in marketing of all things. I think my English background in college certainly led to it, but had some great mentors, some great coaches. Worked with some great companies, eventually reached the executive level, running departments, being on the executive teams at various companies. So it was a good career. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot and had a lot of fun and made a lot of friends.
So in those, you talk about into marketing and made it advancing the career and getting into this executive level. Did you keep up with your health during that time? Were you always healthy, or do you have times when maybe not so much took a back seat to more career, family, et cetera?
Yeah. You know, that the thing for me that I find interesting and maybe is different from others is that I never had serious goals as a runner. I didn't want to run a sub-3. I didn't want to run a sub 16 5K. I just enjoyed running. It was fun. When I got too serious with it, that's when it became work and it became less fun. And I would tend to drop off at times when I got too serious. So just, I always kept it fun. I don't think there was ever a point in my life when I just got off the path really far. I've been pretty lucky. I've been healthy. I've never had a serious injury. Been running on and off at different levels of seriousness my whole life. Got into weight training probably in my 30s and have been using that as a alternate exercise ever since then. Never like really serious, Kevin. It was just so much fun for me that I almost would ruin it when I got too serious. That's the bizarre thing that goes in my mind, is which I think is maybe different from other folks.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. When you take a passion and you take it too far, it becomes a job, then it becomes less enjoyable. You want to remember why you started and why you loved it. Okay, a couple of things. You didn't have a time when you just let yourself go, you got really unhealthy, bounced back. It sounds like you've always at least stayed in striking distance or maybe just really fit pretty much your entire life, right?
Yeah, I don't recall a time when, like I said, I was off the path for a while.
Yeah.
There might go a month or two when I just needed a break, but I've been pretty blessed, I guess, pretty lucky where I just been pretty steady with the fitness. There's certainly times when I did get really fit where I could do a race and be proud of the finishing time or something, but never off really too far. So I, knock on wood,
that's fantastic. Yeah. All right. I want to transition here in a minute and talk about what you're doing today, but a couple of things first. So who were a couple of your biggest influences growing up in fitness? You've led this very active, fit life. Were there parents or mentors or peers, who were some of your big influences on your fitness journey?
Yeah, my dad was always really fit. He played sports back when Eastman Kodak was in their heyday. They had big time athletic leagues. They had 60,000 employees here in Rochester. They had softball fields. They had basketball teams. They had everything. So he was always engaged in some sort of sport through Kodak, which I find incredible looking back on it. So he was active and he loved baseball. So him and I and my brother would play in the back all the time. So he was my kind of first inspiration to sport. And what's better than having a catch with your dad? That's pretty fun even today. And then, you know, some of the older kids in the neighborhood, they were in organized sports, and I looked up to those guys because they were really good. We had some really good athletes in our neighborhood who played on the sports teams in school, so I looked up to them. And then once I got into running and I started watching the Olympics and things like that, boy, there's a whole other world of inspiration right there. So a lot of people to keep me going.
Yeah, fantastic. For finding that motivation in a bunch of different places there. All right. So you mentioned that. So it sounds like running's been this theme throughout your life, right? Yeah. And as I said earlier, I think we're going to come back around to that. But you mentioned also, you said somewhere in your 30s, you picked up some weight training. How did that happen? How did that come about? Who introduced you to strength training?
I just had some friends who were not really runners. They were more into the general fitness and the weightlifting. So I picked it up through them. But later in life, as I got into my 40s and 50s, I got more and more into the weight training side of things and really started to learn how important that was to fitness and health and wellness as we age. Today, I probably run 3 or 4 times a week, and I'm lifting 3 to 4 times a week. I'm doing hiking some other days. So I'm pretty consistent now, probably more than I ever have been, with really tight weekly program that includes running and includes the weight training.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like a pretty good routine there if you're running 3 to 4 times a week for that cardiovascular and then that some strength training to complement that. So let me ask you this. When were you the fittest in your life? Is it now? Was it when you were a kid? Is it somewhere in between?
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
Because I think as far as like general fitness goes, and for me, fitness means the freedom to do anything I want to do. If I want to go run a 5K, I can. If I want to run a half marathon on the trails, I can go do that. If I want to do a Spartan race, I can go do that. And my buddies hosted a powerlifting competition. Hell, I can go do that. I can do the Murph in the springtime. But right now, I'm 55, and I feel like maybe today I'm the most fit I've ever been. I haven't missed a day of exercise in almost 4 years. We got this no days off crew who we text each other our workouts every day. We got the discipline. So I'm pretty fit right now, Kevin. I feel like I can do anything I want to do. And it's a great feeling at this stage in life.
Yeah, I bet. To be at age 55, I feel like you're the fittest you've ever been. I love that you describe or define fitness as the freedom to do anything you want. You mentioned, hey, I can run a short race, I can run a long race, I can do a powerlifting meet. If folks aren't familiar with Murph, that is a grueling CrossFit workout that's done every Memorial Day, I believe. And I'm right there with you, right? At age 58, I can say I am definitively, without a doubt, as strong, fit, capable, and healthy as I've ever been in my life. Now, in my case, that bar was set pretty low through most of my life. So I've got a younger training age, if you will. I came into fitness a little bit later, was not certainly fit my entire life. Hats off to you for just maintaining that over your entire life. And really, sounds like you're peaking right where you are, and the best may yet be to come.
I think for me, too, is I'm a big believer in fun, believe it or not. Fun is one of my core purposes in life. And I have to keep training fun. I want to do fun things. So if I want to do a Spartan race, that's fun. If I want to do some other weird obstacle race, that's fun. If I want to do this powerlifting thing with my buddies on the weekend, that's fun. So for me, it's having the ability to do whatever I want to do at any given time. I can go have fun. I have some kids who are in their late teens, 20s, and 30s, and I could work out with them still and not feel like I'm holding them back. We could go do these events together and have a great time and not feel like I'm an anchor. So it's just, it pays off in so many areas to be fit. It's just, I'm a huge believer in fitness, Kevin. I think it's the foundation for health and wellness, especially as we age out. And it's done wonders for me to stay fit.
Yeah, we're going to stick a pin in that because I want to take one more little diversion before we get back to what you're doing today, because certainly I think that would have been a great segue. But I wanted to back up because we've talked a lot about just activity, right? But we haven't mentioned at all the nutrition side of things. Talk to us a little bit about growing up, how you ate, and what are your philosophies and principles around fueling all this activity today?
Yeah, so I grew up, we had dinner every night at 5 o'clock. And it was pretty basic stuff, nothing fancy. And we ate what was on the table. And then once I got out of the house, I never paid a whole lot of attention to food and nutrition. I didn't understand it. I probably never ate very good up until recently. And I still struggle with that piece, like a lot of people. It's, for me, exercise is the easy part. Eating healthy is a fight. It's a challenge. It's a mindset. So that's the last piece to the puzzle for me, is getting my nutrition more understood, more disciplined, more in tune with that everyday mindset. So I've come to it very late, Kevin. Even a couple of years ago, I just didn't pay a whole lot of attention to what I was putting in my body. And it's the missing link for me right now.
I love that you call it the missing link. And certainly I found myself in my own health and fitness journey. As I was getting stronger, fitter, more capable, that was that missing piece. And when I figured that out, that was that last little piece just fell into place. And it was, fitness is crazy, right? It's a little jagged line up and to the right. It's not that linear progress. And we have plateaus along the way and maybe even regressions. But for me, there was just this quantum leap when I kind of dialed in that nutrition piece. Now, you mentioned that it's been a fight and been a challenge. And what specifically, why do you think that is? Why has that piece been hard for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I've given that a lot of thought lately, and I reflect on why is it such a challenge for me to get this last piece right? Part of it is it's I don't cook, right? That's a bit of a challenge. So I got to learn to do some of the prep. I don't have a support team like I do with the exercise, where we're checking in every day on what we're eating. So that might be a piece to it. And let's be honest, it's easy to grab a bag of chicken nuggets and throw them in the microwave and have a dinner. There's a lot of these things that, at least for me anyway, it's still a challenge. But let me just tell you something really quickly. This is really interesting. So I talked to a nutritionist just a few weeks ago, and I didn't learn anything necessarily new, but it was just another refresher to say, hey, here's things to be mindful of, get my mind right. And then I actually listened to one of your podcasts on intermittent fasting. And the woman talked about a 16-8 fasting schedule. And I actually tried that 2 weeks ago. That's been almost revolutionary. I'm not necessarily changing what I'm eating. I'm certainly being more mindful, but there is something about that 16-8. I feel amazing today after just a few weeks of that fasting. So there is something to that. And I recommend people to listen to your podcast and do some experimentation with that, because it's affected me very quickly in a good way.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of self-experimentation in all aspects of your life, but specifically here when it comes to lifestyle things and nutrition. I know for me, oddly enough, where I first noticed the drastic change that diet could have on my overall health and well-being was a vegan experiment. So I've been a crappy eater all my life, right? I could get away with it as a younger man, but by crappy, I just mean I ate the standard American diet, primarily processed carbs, right? I grew up on a farm and ate very healthy as a young man. Into my midlife, not so much. And somehow, some way, this would have been 15, 20 years ago, 15 probably, there was this this vegan challenge for a month. And I shocked my family by saying, I'm going to be vegan for a month. And they're like, what? Because I ate meat and then just junk food. And I didn't eat, no salads came across this palate ever. And I would force down some vegetables and think, hey, I'm being healthy today. I wasn't. Right. So I did this vegan experiment. And what happened was they had these, hey, here's a breakfast idea, a lunch idea. So it was this well-supported run challenge type thing. And lo and behold, after 30 days of eating nothing but whole plants, now not Impossible Burgers, those weren't invented back then, but not a bunch of processed vegan crap, but just whole foods, plants, I had this almost revolutionary experience. It was life-changing for me. I thought, holy shit, this is the key. This is it. And so I went all in. I was just, okay, I'm a vegan now. And again, my wife and kids are looking at me like, really? And so slowly but surely, we started making, at first we were making two different meals, one for me, one for them. And then we all did it together. And it worked until it didn't. And here, for the vegans out there listening, say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Here's, in defense for veganism or plant-based folks, I stopped after, because it takes a lot of work to take all these whole plants and make them delicious meals. Vegetables aren't delicious to me. You had to do some creative things to make them delicious. But I was all in, and I was noticing these changes. My energy was improved. My libido improved. Just a lot of things improved. And I drifted away. I was thinking that, okay, what's happening is it's the meat that's bad. The meat and the dairy, that was killing me. But what was killing me was just I was eating crappy ultra-processed foods, not necessarily. So at any rate, long story short, I stopped that. That didn't last forever. Obviously, I'm not doing it now. But it was the first time that I noticed that what I ate could make a profound difference in my health and how I felt, the clarity of my head, my energy levels. And so I've been experimenting pretty much ever since. But I think that's interesting that you talk about, hey, I tried the intermittent fasting. And for me, pow, I just had this, I feel better, more energy. So all of us are a little bit different, right? We're all bio-individuals. And I love elimination diets to try, hey, what happened if I take gluten out for 30 days? What would happen if I take dairy out? What would happen if I take sugar out? And see how you feel. So fantastic. I think that's a lifelong endeavor, by the way, also. I don't know that we ever actually arrive, but
I think one of the things that you had mentioned, that I feel clean, I feel lean, and I feel clear-headed. And a lot of it comes from that window philosophy. So at 8 o'clock at night, you're done eating. And the side benefit was that eliminated most of the alcohol for my life, because I would be an evening drinker, so to speak. You get down at 8, 9 o'clock and you watch a football game, have a couple beers, and it turns into 5 or 6 sometimes, and you get the chips out. So the side benefit of the fasting window was, if you're disciplined with it and you happen to be an evening drinker, it's going to eliminate that alcohol during the week anyway. So that's been a real big side benefit for me.
As a nutrition coach, two of the most common questions I get asked is, what about keto and what about intermittent fasting? Both of those are red hot right now. And specifically on the intermittent fasting, I said, do you enjoy eating that way? And can you envision doing that for the rest of your life? That's very important. But secondly, because there's a lot of swirling hype around intermittent fasting, it has almost mystical qualities if you ask some people. But really, I think the main benefit is exactly what you said. It changes behaviors. So if you're somebody who snacks or drinks into the evening, what a great way to cut that out. Say, well, my window's closed. Plain and simple. This is who I am. I do intermittent fasting. My eating window closes at 8 p.m. Therefore, and so in your case, if we're knocking out 3, 4, 5 drinks in the evening, that's got to make a big difference, right? So it may be that it's not so much that the magic is in these 8 hours. It may be that the behavior change associated with you eating in those 8 hours, not to say there's no benefits to prolonged fasting or intermittent fasting. But I think that really what a lot of people miss is the power of that behavior change that comes along with that. And I think that's what a lot of people see.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you have to be disciplined. You have to get your mind around it, and you have to be consistent. And if you can do those things, it will have a profound impact with anything, right? This no days off thing I've been telling you about. Exercise every day. No excuses. You could be traveling, you could be sick, you're going to do something every day. And that mindset, I don't have to pick and choose. It's going to rain today, so maybe I'll wait and run tomorrow. You take all the decision-making out of it if you do something every day. And for me, that's what works. That's the magic. For others, it may not be the case, but it's almost the all or nothing mentality for me. Yeah. It's the only way I can get myself to make something work long term, or else I'm just going to find excuses. And it's a football night, I'll have a drink tonight. But if you truly believe in the consistent no days off mentality with a fasting, I suggest people give it a shot. Like you said, experiment, try things for yourself, see what works and what doesn't, but you got to commit to it.
And yeah, you've got to commit to it. You bring up an interesting point there, that decision fatigue, right? If we don't have that, those clear guardrails, and we don't have these almost laws for ourselves, even if there's the possibility of this negative behavior or poor behavior that doesn't serve us, it's very easy to fall into that because there's a part of your mind that can rationalize pretty much anything, right? Including those Oreos, including those extra beers, including whatever that unhealthy habit is. Whereas you're saying, hey, if I'm the kind of person that I can adhere to this very strict schedule, here it is. I start eating here, I finish eating here, and that's the rules, right? There is no decision at 9 o'clock, do I have a drink or do I have a snack? Because no, you don't. I absolutely love it.
There's something about mindset. And I read this somewhere. It may have been Atomic Habits, the book, which is really good. But how you identify, for instance, you could say, he talked about people who try and quit smoking. And you could say, well, I'm someone who's trying to quit smoking, or I'm someone who doesn't smoke. It's a different mindset in how you look at yourself. So if you say, I'm someone who doesn't drink, or I'm someone who doesn't eat after 9, or I'm someone who does this fasting thing, how you identify is really critical to the mindset. So there's something there too. There's so many tricks and habits and ways to be successful. We have to try enough until we find something that works for us is what it comes down to.
100%. Yeah. And I'm just smiling. You talked about Atomic Habits. Pretty sure that is the most frequently cited book on this in the history of this podcast. We're 150 something episodes in, and that one has been brought up more than any other.
It's folks really out there, good.
If not read James Clear, Atomic Habits, I'll drop it into the show notes. That one is that's a must read. Yeah. All right, Jeff. So we got you to where you are today. And I want to talk a little bit about you and I met, I guess, via the magic of social media. Social media said, hey, this guy likes over 50 health and wellness and fitness. And oh, this guy does too. Let's put them together. And so I guess I probably started seeing some of your posts and you reached out saying, hey, I'm starting this thing. This Iron Age Athletics thing. Talk to us about Iron Age Athletics. What is that? How did it come to be?
Yeah, I am so excited about what I'm doing now. I had a revelation a while ago about trying to understand what is your purpose in life? What are your goals? What are your values? And if they're not aligned on a straight line, it's going to be really challenging to do anything great. If you don't know what your purpose is, how can you have any goals or strategies to get anywhere? So I spent a lot of time just reflecting about what is it I want to do now? And I'm a huge believer, as we've heard, in fitness. And I believe that people over 50 can thrive through fitness and community, those two things together. So that was kind of the impetus of, what does that mean? What could I do with that? And then I talk about this No Days Off group that I've had for almost 4 years now, where there's this amazing accountability tool that we have for each other that's allowed us to exercise every single day, no excuses, for almost 4 years. So I put those two things together and go, how could I help other people thrive? And I got this accountability thing going on. And that was kind of the emphasis of where it started. And there's a couple brands that I really love. And I know that Ape Man Strong was one brand that inspired me because they have a great name, they have a great logo, and they have some great emotional messaging behind them. So I put all those three things together and Iron Age Athletics was born. And it's basically a community-based app for fit over 50 people who want to come together as a community and inspire each other, motivate each other, have some accountability. And we're going to go other places as well, but that's where it is today. And it's really close to my heart and I'm having a blast and I love talking to you about it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Obviously this is right up my alley. So yeah, we have overlapping audiences to be sure, right? We're both talking to the over 50 with that same kind of message. Hey, not only can you be fit and can you thrive, but you should, right? And whereas I'm probably on the, just a little before you, I'm trying to convince those folks that aren't there to come over to this side, right? And you're saying, hey, community that's already here or is maybe even just curious, come on in, right? Let's all hold each other accountable. Let's take this to the next level. So I absolutely love that. Now, it's fair to say, I suppose, that this business is still in its infancy. Is that right? You've just launched here not too long ago, right?
Yeah, we launched really just a couple of weeks ago. And it's a big momentous time for us to launch, but we have a small amount of people on the app today. There's some power users on there helping us get some bugs worked out, helping us understand the functionality better, but it's early, early on, and we have some great visions for where this to go. Right now, it's really based about community. Hop on, post your workout for the day, share some inspirational stories, things like that. But there's going to be an accountability feature coming soon. There's going to be content coming soon from people like yourself. There's going to be events that are coming. There's going to be some products that we're going to be having. So we have a really great vision for where it's going. But right now, it's really all about the community.
All right. So I love this story. Now, do you still have a career in marketing, or have you jumped whole hog into this, or is this how does that look?
It's nebulous right now, to say the least.
Okay, so that's fair.
I just left my job recently, and I'm going to take a bit of a sabbatical, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and I want to really spend it getting Iron Age Athletics off the ground, going through some of these early growing pains, making sure the strategy is sound, making sure the assumptions we have are sound, making some dramatic changes like adding new features and functionality that we didn't envision before. So going to spend some time getting this right, and then I'll probably have to go back and work a little bit too after that.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. All right. So folks out there that are listening to this thinking, okay, I'm very interested, and I would imagine that's everybody listening to this, right? I'm interested in over 50 health and wellness and being fit and having, certainly one of the things we hear most often when we talk to folks in our community is when we say, hey, what do you struggle with the most? It's that consistency and it's that accountability. And maybe they're not verbalizing, but that community to hold them accountable and to support them. If folks are wondering, two things. One is, what can they expect if they come into this community, and how do they get into this community?
Yeah, I think, well, go to ironageathletics.com and you'll find all the information on the app right there. And you can join via the web. You can join downloading the app on Google Play or the App Store. So that's how you get there. What you can expect today is you're going to join a community of fitness fanatics who are posting their daily workouts on the app. We're interacting with each other. We're, again, sharing those workouts. Definitely having some accountability, because there's a small group on there right now. So just, I would encourage people to hop on, give it a shot. You can experience probably 90% of the app functionality for free. And there may be a few events or accountability functionality that may have a paywall to it. But I think we're going to make some changes in the near future. So be on the lookout for that.
Okay, great. So you mentioned the accountability piece of that. And I think that's fantastic, right? I think that will really help drive this thing forward. Are there other features? You had mentioned events. Are you envisioning like virtual events or in person or hybrid? How might that look?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the first thing we're going to do is host some virtual events. There's one on there right now. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving. It's called the Iron Age Decathlon. Check it out. It's a 2-day event, 10 events. You could do it in one day if you're a real maniac. But so that's something different that I haven't really seen out there. And we're going to have more events like that, maybe 3 or 4 a year. Eventually, I would love to have in-person events just for the community aspect of it. So we're looking at what that looks like. And down the road, eventually, we could have our own gyms for just Fit Over 50 folks eventually. So I'm just excited about the journey. Where could this go? I do have this vision that's pretty exciting, but today it's all about community. Let's come together. Let's support each other. And let's see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there. I love the idea of creating community. In fact, I started this podcast a couple of years ago because in my local smallish community, I just didn't I didn't see a lot of people like me in their mid-50s who were really excited and thriving. And in fact, I saw a lot of the opposite of that and heard a lot of that's all downhill from here with Viagra and beer bellies. And that just didn't resonate with me. And I thought, I'm sure I'm not the only one. It turns out when you get into the internet, you're not the only one no matter what you're looking for. But there's this whole wonderful community, right? And so I think that's one of the things that, one of the great things that technology has brought us is a sense of community, and we can get together and we can form this tribe, this virtual tribe, if you will, and love the idea that you're not limited and clearly you've got this vision and have these fun ideas for what this could turn into. Really glad that I met you and get to be a part of these early phases and grow with you through your growing pains, and excited to see what comes next. Jeff, as we are wrapping up here, we know that people can obviously get in touch with you at ironageathletics.com, right? How else can folks connect with you?
Hop on the Instagram. We have an Iron Age Athletics Instagram site. Anyone wants to shoot me an email and just talk about what does it look like to join the community? Where are you going? What are you doing? Send me an email, jluke@ironageathletics.com. If you want to give me a call, I love talking with people. Go ahead and give me a call. 585-943-6885. I'll talk fitness and fitness fanatics all day long. So any way you want to give me a call. And I think what's interesting is the more folks I can talk to who are a fitness fanatic, or they're into fitness, or they're getting back into it, or they want to find a way to thrive in their iron age, the more we can learn about this demographic, the more we can offer the right kind of things to really help them thrive. And it may be things that we haven't even thought of yet. So I know there's more to this than just community. There's more to it than just an accountability function. There's other things that we can do. And Kevin, that's why I love partnering with you and discovering how we can work together to serve this audience who I truly believe, like you do, that we can thrive at this stage in our life. We have to keep looking forward. We have to be excited about that. And whatever we can do to make that happen, I want to do it. I want to thrive for the next 20 or 30 years. This is not a downward spiral. As you said, I'm in the best shape of my life right now. I can do anything I want at 55. And boy, it's powerful. And that's a gift I want to give to other people. And I know you're doing the same thing, and it's really exciting.
Yeah, amen. I often joke that I've become in my later life this annoying fit person, right? Everybody knows when you're out of shape, there's all those annoying fit people over there. And now I've had the Kool-Aid. I'm like, what's this cult's pretty cool, actually. It is nicer over here. And so my job is to gently meet people where they are and to sell them on this idea that the journey over here, look, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If you're sedentary and way out of shape and you have a long way to go, it's probably a long process. But once you're here, maintaining it actually is fun. And it's not as difficult as the journey getting here. So that's where I'm trying to connect with people, trying to help move them into this direction, help channel folks so that they become those fit, annoying people, and they join the Iron Age Athletics and become a part of that community, right? All right, so folks, our call to action here. You heard Jeff. He's going retro, old school. You can actually give him a call. You could talk analog to him if you want in real time. But we would love to hear your ideas, I think is what he's saying, on what would you like to see in something like this. So check out the Iron Age Athletics, check out their app, and I think Jeff would more than welcome all of your feedback, whether that's negative feedback, positive feedbacks, but especially what would you like to see? What, I mean, just use your imagination. What would you like to see? Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. That this is one of the ways I can give back to the world is to have this community space available that's a safe, inclusive space for us. And we have a lot of growth yet to go. And I want it to go where the community wants it to go. And we can figure that out together. So please, feedback is fantastic.
All right, Jeff, let's wrap it up here. I want to thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show today, for sharing all of your wisdom and your knowledge and your passion with us. And really just to congratulate you, man, on really pouring yourself into this community, into this project. And I certainly wish you all the best in all your future endeavors.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Okay, folks, that's our show for this week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I want to let you know that we have other free resources over at silveredgefree.com. There you'll find our free guides with our top tips on nutrition, exercise, and healthy lifestyle. We recently added the Over 50 Booty Builder Guide, and that's been wildly popular. So feel free to head over there and download anything that looks useful to you and your health and wellness journey. I also want to let you know that you can find all the links to the resources we discussed in this episode over at silveredgefitness.com/episode154, and you can continue the conversation over there as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on today's show. I really appreciate you spending your time with me today, and until next time, stay strong.